Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so thank you very much for coming back to my channel. Anyway, I'm talking about the Russo-Ukrainian conflict, which has been going on for just over 500 days now. Anyway, so it's been fascinating to study the various shortages the two sides are suffering as Ukraine continues its counteroffensive, mostly in southern Ukraine, somewhat in the east around Bakhmut, the city that the Russians took at enormous cost. The Wagner Supremo, Yevgeny Prigozhin, said 25,000 of his fighters were killed taking the city. We often reckon for everyone killed, there'll be three wounded. And the case of Wagner might be lower, because I said they quite often didn't give medical attention. People who were salvable were just allowed to die. Anyway, so Russia's got some paratroopers defending Bakhmut, but paratroopers for attacking, not defending. So they are the cream of the Russian military. Young, very physically fit, highly motivated, excellently trained. So why are they squandering them on an operation which could be carried out by anyone, by someone who's kind of quite third rate? I'm not a military person, by the way, but I'm told this is a fairly easy thing for them to do. Whereas, you know, these parachute operations are rather different, are very difficult. They're a spearhead force. The city itself is of minimal value, but they're having to use la crème de la crème simply because there's such a paucity of troops. So the Ukrainians acknowledge that the counteroffensive is going slowly, though they said it has sped up recently. And I was reading today how they managed to take out four Russian artillery pieces for each bit of their own taken out. Again, that's from a Western source, so that might be an exaggeration there. But, you know, there is some open source data analysis to suggest that this is accurate. You know, might not be microscopically accurate, but broadly, broadly true. What else? But there is a shortage of munitions on both sides, and that's when the 7th of July, President Biden said that Ukraine will be furnished with cluster bombs by the United States. I know they're highly contentious because some of them don't explode on impact. There's a more than 1% failure rate. The United States won't use them, but often there is a more than 1% failure rate. The Russians won't have about 3.5% failure rate. So they remain a hazard on the ground for years after, as they imperil the lives of civilians long after the conflict is over. But the United States faces a binary choice. They either provide the Ukrainians with these weapons or the Ukrainians go short of munitions and that's it. And what little momentum the counteroffensive have built up is lost, and the Russians may even be able to attack again themselves. So if it weren't for Russia, no cluster bombs would have been used in Ukraine whatsoever, or any munitions by either side. This is squarely on the shoulders of Putin. So there's mounting pressure on the Republic of Korea to provide ammunition to Ukraine because, you know, the Ukrainians are so short of it. But so will the South Koreans do so? They've got an enormous stockpile of ammunition in case they fight against the People's Democratic Republic of Korea, i.e. North Korea again. So to date, the South Koreans, they've given humanitarian aid, but they've not crossed the Rubicon of providing lethal aid to the Ukrainians. Will they do so? I reckon they won't actually, because 55% of South Koreans are against, only 42% are in favor, and there's an election coming up. So the governing party doesn't want to clear the pitch. But the Ruskies would no doubt incite North Korea to take some military action. Then there will be a limited military action, then think full-scale war. So the Russian army is suffering from a shortage of troops and tanks, and so much of their military strategy is built around tanks. How are they going to start to attack? Even Putin blurted this out 10 days ago. They've only got two tank factories. If those are taken out, well, that's it. They just can't prosecute the war. So from the 6th of July, they started advertising for women to join the Russian army, admittedly in non-combat roles. 7x7 was this media outlet that reported that. So the Russian Defense Ministry said in March 2023 that only 1,100 Russian women have served in the Ukraine war, and about 300,000 men have done so. So that's well under 1%, by 0.3%. But they want a lot more women. We'll see. And the prisons advocacy group has already said that the Russian government is trying to persuade women in prison to volunteer. They're usually advertising in poorer ages, areas of the country. So there's going to have to be a military call up. There was a fascinating report by the Kiel Institute for the World Economy and Oryx, using mostly open sources, to say that Ukraine and Russia have now got about parity in tanks, because so many have been destroyed. So Russia invaded Ukraine with 3,417 tanks. This is according to the Ukraine support tracker. Around 2,000 of these have been taken out, either destroyed or else have fallen into the hands of the Ukrainians. So Ukraine has about 1,400 tanks, 545 of which were originally Russian, and the Ukrainians took from their enemies. And so Ukraine is due to receive another 286 tanks by the end of 2023. And that's a faster rate that Russia can produce them. Bear in mind, they're being destroyed the Russian tanks are being destroyed at a faster rate than they can be made. Now, this information, it does come from Western sources that might be tainted with a certain optimism bias. That's why people tend to be a little bit optimistic, not ludicrously optimistic, because then they get disappointed, to keep morale up, so to keep people in the fight. Okay, you don't want too much discouragement for your side. Well, it's pointless. Let's just give up now and end this suffering. It's all to no purpose. So that would be dispiriting for people. So you must hearten them. So the Ukrainian counteroffensive is having difficulties because, of course, these are formidable defenses they are up against. But what about the Russian death toll? Well, there was that Mediazona, was it BBC report, said that they could name 25,000 soldiers who've been killed. Name 25,000. There might be others who are unnamed since the war began on 24th of February 2022. But there's been another study which suggests it's more like 47,000 deaths. So on the 10th of July, Mediazona and Meduza, two independent Russian media organizations, they published this. And they use a rather ingenious methodology. They went to the National Probate Registry of the Russian Statistical Agency, Rostat, and they showed there's been an enormous rise in probate cases for males who died below the age of 50 since March 2022. Now what's been going on in the last 16 months or so? This is excluding minors, males of 18 to 50. All right, military age is more like 37, but there are some in their 40s as well. Bear in mind the coronavirus is gone. You'd think that deaths of these men would go down, but it hasn't. It's gone up. And bear in mind that hundreds of thousands of young men have left the country. There are fewer young men around. So as there are fewer young men, you expect there to be fewer deaths, but they're not. There are a lot more. And that's got to be because of the war. And all right, not every man dying below the age of 50 is killed because of the war. So they're going to look at the excess deaths. You compare that those months from, say, March 2022 to March 2023 to a similar period of 12 months, if you go back to, say, 2018 to 2019, before coronavirus, and you see there all the additional deaths. So they say the additional deaths are between 40,000 and 55,000. So they say, let's go for the middle of that range, about 47,000. Now, of course, this is only those who die with property to be inherited. The figure could be even higher than 55,000 because some soldiers die without any property to be inherited. But I think it's unlikely to be over 55,000. So again, these are two liberal media outlets, anti-war outlets. So some would cast doubt on their objectivity. Even they're not objective, they still could be correct. They could be wrong. It's highly unlikely they're totally wrong. It's not 47,000. Is it not 40,000? Is it not something close to that, 35,000? Certainly a lot higher than the last officially reported death toll, 6,000 in September 2022. Why has the Russian state not released one? I suppose because it's so shockingly high, it would horrify public opinion. People would be so aghast they would demand an end to this war now. If it was negligible, then there'd be unembarrassed and willing to release the data. So since 2023, the Kremlin has been so alarmed by the death toll, it has discouraged regions from permitting the publication of obituaries of those killed in the war, because they don't want people knowing about too many war deaths. So, but because Western intelligence documents that were leaked in early 2023 said, according to the Russian Federal Security Service, that's their internal oppression service, the Russia itself estimates it's killed and wounded to be 110,000 by 2023, February 2023. So let's say if we go for a quarter of that actually killed, you know, that's something like 27,000 by that date. You know, so we're saying about, of the casualties, about 25% are deaths, but often higher because, you know, they're Wagner not looking after the wounded. There are a few prisoners, not very much prisoners, about 1% of the casualties. Prisoners are often also wounded when they get captured, but quite a few prisoners have been released. Surprise, they haven't released more of the wounded ones. We don't care for them. You can have them back, and they'll be no good in the war. All right, so casualties are significant. So Ukraine is taking out a lot more Russian artillery than Ukraine is losing of its own artillery, partly because it's got these Western-supplied artillery systems, which are longer range, which are more accurate, better all-armed cooperation with drones or whatever. Is the United States even assisting them with satellite data? The United States says it is not helping with targeting. That could be a lie by Langley Farm. I just don't know. Well, thank you so much for watching this channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. You donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.